What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So I got to thinking, it's not out of the question that the Padres could still end up having, I think, what we all deem a really successful offseason. Even though they haven't made any major league moves yet. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Tyler Wade just doesn't exist to you anymore.
That's a good point. Well, I mean, I think, you know, offering arbitration to your own players is, I'm going to say, is kind of the minimum standard at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's still 18 of the top 50 and 13 of ESPN's top 33 free agents still on the board.
Okay.
Now, have no idea if the Padres have been actively talking to any of them other than number two, who is Roky Sasaki. If the Padres land the number two available free agent in the offseason,
pretty good.
That's a really good start.
Yeah, yes.
I don't think they're going after number five or seven, Alex Bregman and Pete Alonso.
No.
Not that, you know, there hasn't been some Pete Alonso talk in the past, but, you know, he just doesn't seem to be drawing the kind of interest that I think he expected this offseason. I mean, the Mets still kind of want him back, but I think they know they're in a much better negotiating position after other teams that had been interested filled their hole at first base.
Oh, well, also, there was a rumor that came out yesterday that the Mets are interested in putting together a package for one Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who would be ridiculous in New York City with Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor. Can you imagine that top three, Lindor, Soto, Vladdy?
Would also probably mean the end of Pete Alonso's tenure.
It would definitely mean the end of Pete Alonso's tenure.
Would that open a door in Toronto? I've got no idea. But number nine, Jack Flaherty, still has not signed.
Rumored to be interested, mutual interest in with the Angels.
He's the number one starting pitcher outside of Sasaki still available. Number 12 is Anthony Santander.
Yep. I've heard some whispers, Atlanta, here. I've heard a couple of little whispers about Santander.
Back to pitching, number 14, Nick Pivetta.
Not a word.
Nothing. Very quiet.
Ice cold on Nick Pivetta.
Number 19, Tanner Scott. Padre top reliever still available on the market.
I'd do some pretty filthy things to get Tanner Scott back here.
He's
pretty filthy things.
Like in any other year where we weren't so financially strapped,
right?
I'd be like, top priority. Bring him home. Bring him back.
He's okay. Like,
he was
nasty. Losing Roky to the Dodgers would suck. If Tanner Scott goes, Tanner Scott to the Dodgers may actually break me. Like, broken. Like, I'm broken on the floor.
You could even...
He's so filthy.
I think you could argue it would be at least just as bad, if not worse.
It would kill me.
To make an already elite bullpen that much better.
It does feel like if the Padres get Roky Sasaki, the Dodgers will immediately just...
Tanner Scott!
Just to, like, just, change the narrative.
Yes.
Yeah, we're taking Tanner Scott then.
I swear
we're taking Profar just because we can.
He's asking for... I think he's asking for, like, 20 is the rumor I saw, 20 a year. I mean, it's like, that's some serious scratch.
And then we get to the Padres on the list. Number 24, Jurickson Profar, and number 25, Ha-Sung Kim. We'll talk again to Mike Petriello about Jurickson Profar's market, why he has It's been very quiet. I mean, there really hasn't even been a single Jurickson. He said, I think it's been a month since the last time Jurickson's name was even mentioned in MLB trade rumors.
I saw early in the process the New York Yankees would be interested in a Jurickson profile. I also saw, again, the Atlanta Braves as a team to watch for them. And, I said it earlier. I stand by it. I root for Jurickson Profar. Will he be the same player there? And maybe you can't look at his year in Colorado and go, well, that's what's going to happen if he leaves here. It's probably not. He figured something out last year. There's no question. He had a really good year. And, he's out there working right now to get better. So he just...
You don't go from, like, literally the worst player in baseball one year
to one of the
to
best
an MVP candidate the next year without figuring something out.
It's hard to say it was a total and complete fluke, right? So, but what's the sweet spot on him? You know, what do you pay that you feel comfortable paying and that he's comfortable with?
As for Ha-Sung Kim, we mentioned a little bit yesterday, coming off the shoulder surgery, has not really found the giant, multi-year market at this point. And the team that seemed like it was most interested, the Giants, went out and got Willy Adames quickly, which has left Kim in a bit of a no man's land. Does that open the possibility for a return to the Padres? Maybe. But they also seem to have other priorities right now than, middle infield. So not sure where that leaves Ha-Sung Kim. Back to the relievers. Number 27, Carlos Estevez is still unsigned. Okay. Number 31 to me is a very interesting, potentially Padres target. Andrew Haney, the numbers you look, you went like 4-14 for the Rangers last year, but the numbers weren't actually that bad. It's like a 4 ERA. The underlying numbers aren't terrible. Through a bunch of innings, could definitely be a back of the rotation type starter that, I would think multiple teams would be interested in, but he's just sitting out there without a ton of talk this offseason. So he's still there. More relievers, Kenley Jansen at 32, Kirby Yates at 33.
Both Yates had a great year last year.
Did.
A great year.
Now, obviously, he's definitely on the backside of his career. What is he, 38 now?
Yeah, something like that.
So, maybe that's keeping teams from being aggressive in their pursuit.
He'll get a job.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get a job late.
Number 42 is Max Scherzer. I just have no idea. If he could put together one decent season, I think any team would be happy to have him.
No bad one-year deals, right?
The question is, are you just burning the money if you give him a one-year deal because there's just nothing left in the tank? Number 44, Spencer Turnbull. Number 46, Yoan Moncada. Number 48, JD Martinez. Maybe some interest there, DH type. And then number 50, David Robertson. Are your still top 50 free agents.
Okay.
They're still unsigned here as we hit the second half of January now, and we're less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting across the league.
Yeah, there's you go below the 50, there's still some interesting players out there. Connor Joe, hometown kid, he's available as well, can play first, can play some outfield. There's interest in
Tommy Pham's still unsigned,
Tommy
right?
Pham is still out there. Just chilling. A professional hitter, Tommy Pham. Didn't have the greatest seasons here, but you know what? I think there's still a little something left in the tank.
Yeah, there are dozens of names beyond that top 50 that are still unsigned and available. And again, it's not the top of the market, but those are guys who are going to want jobs when the season starts. And there's not going to be room for them on every team. The Padres will make some moves and land some players, before the start of spring training.
Yeah, very patient right now.
Just seems very inevitable. It's just we've all had to be extremely patient and do a lot of waiting here this offseason.
Yeah, the waiting is the hardest part.
So, it's not the market. Again, it's not completely empty. There still is a bunch of stuff to, sift around. You just have to be kind of a little more discriminating about what you're looking at, knowing, there may be a bruise on this apple, but it's still
you eat around.
It's
it.
Still a pretty good apple, and you can eat around it. You can just cut off the slightly bad part, and you're getting a really good deal on the apple.
I would absolutely never,
because it has a little bruise
never.
On it. Yeah, I mean this is the fruit that is just not visually perfect,
right.
But still more than nutritious enough to sustain your
job done.
Get your recommended daily allowance of vitamins from some of these guys. They're just not the sexiest of names that are left on the list.
No, it's fair. It's fair. And again, the correlation between Roky Sasaki signing and the Padres making other moves in free agency, there really isn't one. I mean, it's different pools of money, and it's a totally different thing. But I don't know. I mean, I do like to think that their entire focus is on Roki Sasaki right now, and that's okay with me. I'm absolutely okay. There's nobody that's come off the list that I looked at and said, we have to have that guy, and we can totally afford him, other than maybe Kyle Higashioka, right? Like, that one was a little bit, oh, okay, we probably could have used Higgy back and seemed to make a lot of sense. Wasn't a ton of money, you know, et cetera. But that's really the only one. Like, I knew we were going to be a little bit thrifty. We all knew they'd be a little thrifty this offseason. I was never expecting Corbin Burns. I was never expecting the big top free agents. So my expectations were, they're fine. I mean, that's where I'm at.
The Snell one stung because we had just kind of started talking about, like, all right, maybe there is a way to get creative and bring him back. God, we could use him. He seemed to love it here.
Yeah, he'd be great.
But you didn't think it was really going to happen. But then for, like, I don't know, a week later, him to sign with the Dodgers.
Yeah, it was a pipe dream for sure. We'd all heard rumors and mutual interest and everything else. Right. And you're like, oh, let's get real creative.
The sting is the fact that it was the Dodgers.
That he went to the Dodgers, yeah. So that's what it was.
He goes to the Twins. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, I can kind of make the argument either way about whether you get Roki Sasaki or not, how it changes your offseason going forward. If they don't get him, I mean, obviously pitching is an imperative. You know, you don't have a starting rotation necessarily going into the season. You're going to have to rely on Matt Waldron and probably figure out whether it's Randy Vasquez or stretching out Adrian Morjon. There's not a great list of options. So
if they don't get Roki, then almost all of a sudden I'm like, Martin Perez for $3 million?
He's already signed. We couldn't have gotten him.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can say that if they don't get Roki, okay, you've kind of left yourself. But even if they do, you sort of say, well, you kind of want a six-man rotation. So you sort of still need a name Andrew Haney or someone like that as well.
You could still get Andrew Haney and Roki Sasaki. You still need a left field. Like, if you don't get Roki... If you get Roki, you're like, well, our left field problem solved. No, you have two separate pots of needs, and Roki is his own. And I just, that money, you may have more international bonus money to spend than you do regular money, Ben, on free agents.
I mean, ultimately, you know, I look at the rest of the offseason, and here's what if I want to call it a success, here's what I would kind of like to see. Land Roki Sasaki, sign another pitcher like an Andrew Haney, bring back Jurickson Profar and trade for a catcher.
If they do
all four or even three of those four things and then address something else in spring training or in the season, I'd be pretty okay with that for the Padres offseason. I'd be pretty happy about how it went for the Padres.
Yeah, I would be very juiced up for spring training. Roki goes to the Dodgers. Mike Brousseau's the starting left fielder. Brett Sullivan's the backup to Luis Campusano. I'm still going to be excited because I love Padre baseball. That being said, that's two different off seasons entirely. So we will see what happens, man. We are playing the waiting game just like all of you guys haven't heard anything. But what I wanted to tell you is if you have joint pain, do not play the waiting game. That's something you do not want to do. I did it. I tried my own little remedies of... I had really painful wrists, and I had all sorts of braces and creams, and nothing worked. I would tape my wrists and my fingers. Everything sucked. But I went to QC Kinetics, started getting the treatment in both my wrists, and both of them are so good to go. Was hitting off the tee yesterday. Feels so, so good. Been playing golf. Make the decision this year to say, no, I'm not going to continue on with this joint pain in my knees, my hips, my back, my shoulder, my wrists, whatever. They are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine and joint preservation. And as you get older, it's just, you get a little creakier. So they use an array of natural solutions like PRP to attack the pain from arthritis. So many people discovering these cellular treatments, they're living life again, back doing all the things they love to do. If you want to learn more, all you have to do is call QC Kinetics for a free consultation. Stand behind them 1,000%. Deal with joint pain now. Make the most of the new year by calling 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN.
Don't Do This is coming up next. Could one quarterback's family potentially undo his entire team's playoff chances going forward? Get to that next after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info.
I trust you, and will you do the first story?
I will. Thank you for trusting me.
You're welcome.
Woods, and we will start in the NFL with the Los Angeles Rams. Their quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Well, actually, his wife, Kelly Stafford, who is has that podcast, the Morning After, kind of, reveal, pulls the curtain back, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah,
of being
more of the curtain than he would like, I think, sometimes.
Mother of the kids of a big-time NFL quarterback. Yeah. But, yeah, she's kind of maybe said a little too much at times and, yeah, you know, made things awkward for her husband. This time, she did it again when she admitted, well, at least she felt bad about it, she admitted massive guilt for bringing her sick children aboard the L.A. Rams charter flight. Of course, they had to move the game from L.A. to Arizona, so they put everyone on a quick flight, obviously. It's just an hour or so over from L.A. to Phoenix. But she was on the plane, and she was talking about how, they're all really, really sick on the flight, and there's a huge guilt factor to me going, should we even be on this plane? Because everyone's surrounding us, and everyone has to play the game. Even by the time the game started, one of the Stafford children still wasn't well, vomiting in the bathroom, which he documented on social media.
Oh, good, good. Oh, here's here's little Katie losing her breakfast.
Now, the Rams played great.
They did.
But, you know, you just don't want to put, a team of, 53 guys in a metal tube with a bunch of sick kids like a Petri dish, because who knows this week whether or not, a possible illness could be floating around the LA Rams facility as they get ready for their second round matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, I think it's the documenting of the sick kids that is the part that gets me. There's more pictures of the kid like laid out with like a nebulizer,
oxygen mask,
yeah, atomizer, thing, yeah. Whatever on her face, vomiting in the bathroom. So I'm assuming the Staffords live in L.A., and because of the fires and things, Matthew was probably like, yeah, I want my family with me when we go to Arizona. No problem. You're also one of the pretty wealthy quarterback. Like, I would feel terrible if I was like, hey, I'm bringing Bo and Taylor in today. They're vomiting and have the flu. Good luck, guys. Good luck.
I mean, he signed a four-year, $160 million contract.
Yeah.
Probably get them out there on their own.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I was going to say, you just not go to this game. Just stay home watching on TV. But if you really wanted to be there.
But I don't know the situation with their home in L.A., the fires, all
that's
that.
True.
So I get that. Like, I get wanting them there.
They could charter their own transportation, possibly.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if I was Matthew Stafford as the quarterback of the team, I'd be like, hey, we can't have the whole squad getting sick before the playoffs. So I'll get you guys a plane. You know, see you out there at the hotel and keep you away. But how guilty really did you feel if you did it? I know I shouldn't.
I mean, you'll never know.
I'm going to feel terrible.
I mean, even if your guys do get sick, you can never 100% say, oh, it was definitely
Stafford's
kids that started this. But
there had to have been a conversation. Like, the thought at least went in the brain before the trip. Like, this sucks. This probably isn't great. But you still did it.
Yeah, yeah.
How bad do you really
feel? It is January. I guarantee there's a few other sick people on the plane. It's going around, for sure.
No doubt. I will take us inside the...
You didn't have to reveal it to everybody.
That's fair. Yeah. If you didn't say it, we never would have known.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you posted the pictures as well, but if you hadn't done that, nobody would be any the wiser. So that's kind of what she does, though. This is an interesting one, man. And I don't know, actually, if it's a don't do this or maybe it's a do this. This is insane. I saw a tweet this morning. There is nothing like college basketball. UMass traveled to Fordham last night for an A-10 conference game. Game tipped off at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. 3 hours and 45 minutes later, the game ends in triple overtime. 79 fouls were called. 122 free throws were attempted. 9 players from both teams fouled out.
Wow.
120 to 118. UMass wins the game. I can't for the life of me imagine a game with 122 free throws. Is that not the worst viewing experience of your entire life?
That's
college. Awful. I flipped on the other day, so I wanted to watch the Aztecs, and it was that late start. And I put the TV on at about 7:45, knowing the game was supposed to start at 8. And I saw there were 10 minutes left in the game before. And Hannah goes, oh, that's good. Only 10 minutes left. I go, babe, that 10 minutes is going to take 40 minutes to get through. I can't even imagine 3 overtimes in almost 4-hour college basketball game with 122 free throws and 79 fouls called. Is that bad? Is that bad refereeing or is that really good refereeing? Shouldn't every game technically be that way if they wanted to call everything?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you definitely blame the referees, but they probably set a tone like, okay, yeah, we're going to call this one tight. And then they got stuck into it for just an endless game. It's amazing that there was enough players left to finish
the
game at the end with 79 fouls. I mean, you'll get 5 per person, and then you're out.
9 players fouled out
total,
which is nuts.
You had to go deep on the benches.
Deep off the bench, yep.
That's pretty crazy.
Yep.
But not that entertaining to see that many free throws.
Not at all.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
A nice story. You know, the first tennis Grand Slam of the year is underway, the Australian Open, down in Melbourne. And world number 4 tennis player Taylor Fritz, Torrey Pines High School, local product, is playing really well right now. Was a straight sets winner last night. But the doo-doo this is what he announced after the game. Said he is going to be donating his entire first round prize money check, which is about $82,000 US, to those affected by the wildfires in Los Angeles for the win just to bring some awareness around the world. He's, you know, on the other side of the planet right now playing tennis, but wanted that to be on everybody's mind back in his home state of California. Local guy, and by the way, has really been rising up the charts in international tennis and become a real force. Best U.S. men's player in quite some time, and he's a local product, and he deserves a little love and support, I would say, from San Diego. So good luck to Taylor Fritz the rest of the way in the Australian Open. Got, I think, into the semifinals in one or two of the Grand Slams last year, maybe even one of the finals. He's getting close to the big breakthrough in his career. Hopefully comes this year for Taylor Fritz.
Well, it's a good time, too, to let everybody here locally know, Ben. The San Diego Food Bank is supporting the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank's ongoing relief efforts by collecting donations of non-perishable food and supplies through Thursday, January 16th. That is today, correct? That'll be delivered at the end of the week. Items can be dropped off at either of the warehouses in Miramar and Vista. The L.A. Regional Food Bank has requested the following items for donations: water, energy bars, pop-top tuna and chicken, raisins, other dried fruit, trail mix, peanut butter crackers, cheese crackers, 100% juice boxes, individual cereal boxes, diapers, and wipes. For complete details, visit sandiegofoodbank.org, L.A. Wildfires.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, speaking of college basketball, Woods was just talking about it. We got some tickets to give away right now for Saturday's game at Viejas Arena. Not only are the Aztecs hosting UNLV, which is always a good rivalry game. I mean, everyone likes to beat the Rebels, but it is also Brian Dutcher bobblehead day at Viejas Arena. You can get your tickets at GoAztecs.com.
We really need one.
I need one.
I kind of would like one for the studio. Maybe someone can save one for us. But you can win a pair of tickets right now by being the fourth caller at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Call now. You can win. The Rebels are coming off a big win last night. They had the late game, and they upset number 22-ranked Utah State, 65-62 at the Thomas and Mack Center. So they'll be feeling pretty good. They're 4-2, just like the Aztecs in the Mountain West. The winner stays within at least a game of first place. So a pretty big game as the Aztecs trying to build a little momentum after their win over Colorado State two nights ago. And they got UNLV coming up this Saturday. So I see people calling in, 833-288-0973, your chance to win. When we come back, though, we're going to talk to David Jay a little bit more about this, the final end game of the Roki Sasaki process, how the Padres and Dodgers apparently are trying to add to their bonus pools, how that would work, what the Padres might have to give up, and you know, whether it can make a difference here in landing Roki Sasaki. It's all coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I want to tell you about STFatLoss.com. My journey of losing 40 pounds in 60 days. I did it about a year and a half ago. And I have kept the weight off, all of it, and a little extra, that entire time. And the difference for me was that SDFatLoss.com presented with me the first ever sustainable weight loss program. I had done fad diets, I had done the bars and shakes, I had never tried the injections, but I heard, same thing, if you stop, well, then the weight's just, the hunger's going to come back, the weight's going to come back on. I wanted something different, and I found it with SDFatLoss.com. Made my own food for the most part, easy stuff, chicken, steak, vegetables, things I like already, and I lost weight, up to a pound of fat per day. You can do it as well, up to 10 to 20% of your body weight in 60 days. Find out how it can work for you. New you in the new year, and if you call before January 31st, you're going to get $200 off with the New Year special right now. Think about the benefits. More energy, better sleep, less pain. I felt all of these things. You can as well by resetting your metabolism, lowering your metabolic age up to 17 years with SDFatLoss.com. Schedule your free consultation. Do it now. Just go online to SDFatLoss.com. I tend to think that if you're a regular listener to 97.3 The Fan, it's because you're probably pretty deep in the weeds and everything the Padres are doing. I understand there's also some fans are out there. Just tell me when it's over, like where Roki Sasaki is going. Is he coming to our team or not? Just let me know at the end. But I'm not wired that way. Woods, I don't think you're wired that way, no. Paulie. I mean, we like to follow as closely as we can, look at the signs, try to figure out how this process is working, because Well, we want to evaluate whether our executives, like A.J. Preller, did a good job, did everything they could do, possibly to land Roky Sasaki. Now, they could do everything they can possibly do and still not land him.
Indeed.
That is also one of the risks here. But one of the most recent bits of reporting last night from Mark Feinsand is that both the Dodgers and Padres are trying to acquire, or in talks at least, to acquire extra bonus pool money. And I was still a little unclear as to how that whole concept works. So joining us right now from MadFriars.com, they cover tons of minor league and international signings. David Jay is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. David, it's good to have you on this morning, even for a very technical conversation.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, there's nothing like math talk to really make morning radio shine, right?
Yeah, 100%. People love math. I actually had coffee yesterday, David, with your newest hire for Mad Friars, Clark Fahrenholt, great kid. Had coffee with him, and he does a really good job at explaining some of the math parts of baseball. And I said to him, I said, Clark, I love baseball with every fiber in my body, every fiber of my being. But my favorite sport has really gotten quite mathy over the last 20 years or so. And, I mean, the international signing stuff is it's interesting to me, and I think you have a pretty good handle on it. So what can the Padres and Dodgers do today? Who are people that you could see potentially being shipped off to clear some more space for Roky Sasaki?
Sure. So as a starting point, every team gets a specific amount of money that they can spend on international free agents each year. And that allocation, it's based on whether a team receives or pays into revenue sharing, whether they get a compensation draft pick in the upcoming draft or not. And it can also be reduced based on penalties for signing a free agent who had a qualifying offer.
Yep.
And all of that. So this year, all of that means that there's a range in what teams can spend that goes from a little over $5.1 million at the bottom end to $7.5 million at the upper end. And at that lower end this year, that includes the Dodgers and the Giants, the Padres are really right in the middle of that range. They've got just over $6.25 million that they can spend on free agents. So that's their starting point. Now, teams can trade to acquire more cap space, and you can trade that in increments of $250,000. So $250,000, $500,000, $750,000, $1 million, as long as it's divisible by $250,000. Woodsy, you still with me on the math here?
Barely, but I'm hanging on. Yes, sir. You're doing a great job.
There's a small exception to that if a team's trading the remaining balance of their pool money. But largely, you're talking about increments of $250,000. And just to note, they're not actually trading money. They're trading the right to spend that money. So, like, if you hear yesterday the Giants acquired $500,000 in a trade with the Red Sox, they didn't actually get the money. They got the right to spend that money.
Got it.
So you've got that going on. And the Padres actually did that last year. They acquired $500,000 of space from the Tigers and another $250,000 from the Astros so that they'd be able to sign righty pitcher Humberto Cruz. Cruz is a guy who's featuring very prominently in our top prospect list that we're running on the Mad Friars website this winter.
Nice plug.
There you go.
Yep.
And just a really interesting righty. But, you know, they committed most of their money up front to Leo DeVries. They then lost some of their pool space because of the Xander Bogart signing the winter before. And so they needed to go out and trade to get additional space. And they traded Blake Dickerson, who's a kid they'd given fifth round type money in the draft the July before, and Oliver Carrillo, a slugger who hadn't gotten out of the Dominican League. So those were what they traded to get that space last year. There's one other layer to all of this, which is that teams can only acquire up to 60% of the original amount that they had. So 60% of the Dodgers, $5-plus million, is just over $3 million. 60% of the Padres is about $3.6 million. So they can get up to you know, in the case of the Dodgers, $8 million. In the case of the Padres, $10 million. And the Blue Jays are right in between those two. So, you know, you're talking about a range all in between a little over $8 million and a little under $10 million that those three teams could get up to.
So, David, let me just spitball here for a second. If you are another team that's not in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes, and you know that the Padres and Dodgers, and probably pretty urgently trying to acquire this, are you going to hold them hostage for a higher level of prospect? Or conversely, if you have, you know, $6 million of international money and you're only spending $4 million of it, you might as well trade the rest of it, right? Because, you know, you're going to get something for it. It doesn't do you any good just sitting there if you're not going to sign someone. So do you just go to the next team on the list? How does this play out, would you imagine, in the next, you know, 2 or 3 days as they're scrambling to perhaps acquire more cap, international cap money here?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a handful of clubs that still have 7 figures of pool space left based on the bonuses that they gave out yesterday. And for them, it's really a matter of deciding whether they think they can get more value from trading that space to one of the three clubs or by trying to go out. You know, one of the things we heard last week was that the Padres, the Dodgers, the Blue Jays had reached out to the 16-year-olds who were scheduled to sign with them yesterday. You know, yesterday's the opening of the international free agency period, which theoretically, according to the rules, is the first time people can talk about contracts, but all of these kids have had deals in place since they were 13 or 14. you know, Major League Baseball really shining through with its ethics and morals there. But the Padres, Blue Jays, Dodgers reached out and told those kids that they had deals in place with that they were free to go out and find offers from other clubs, in the case of the Dodgers, or asking them to wait until all of this sorts itself out. And we saw yesterday a couple of players who were committed to sign with the Dodgers signed with different organizations. The biggest names in the Padres group are still sitting out there. None of them signed elsewhere. So it's still just sitting there. But, you know, the clubs now that have additional pool space have a decision to make. Do they want to trade that to allow one of the teams to get a bigger pool that they can put together for Roki and potentially some of the other players that they had lined up? Or if I'm the GM of, you know, Milwaukee and I see that Joan De La Cruz, who was the shortstop who was scheduled to get about $2 million from the Padres, is now sitting out there. Do I say, oh, I'd rather go out, rather than trade $1 million for my pool, I'd rather go out and get another $1 million and be able to sign that kid who wasn't otherwise going to be part of our class? And so when you see in that Fine Sand tweet last night or in the follow-up around it that there were some teams you'd expect and others you might not, that's what he's talking about, is those teams that are lining up to maybe go out and acquire some of the 16-year-olds who the Padres, the Blue Jays, the Dodgers had locked up before this.
Talking to our pal David Jay from Mad Friars here. And so today, tomorrow, I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of differing reports. Somebody had said in our chat earlier, I don't know how much credibility to give it, but that the agent, Wolf, had said, you know, around the 20th, which is 4 days away, right? So there should be a flurry of moves, I would imagine. So reading the tea leaves, as Ben likes to say, would you, if you see the Dodgers are clearing a bunch of players and getting a bunch of space, we should be very nervous. If you see the Padres are doing the same thing, we should be very excited, or is it doesn't really lead to a conclusion?
I mean, my guess is that all of that will get, you know, once there's clarity from Sasaki on what's going to happen, my guess is you'll see, actually, just a guess, I have no real deep sense of it, but my guess is what you'll see is somebody will get a leak that Sasaki's made his decision, and then there will be a flurry of moves that are announced.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah, that's why you say on the 20th, hey, we've picked the Padres, but they actually have until the 23rd to then make some moves, get some more money, and then sign him by the 23rd when the posting window closes.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in the just a piece to consider in the case of the Padres, you know, they're obviously, they've got some pressure to reduce their big league payroll. And, you know, you look at some of the names that have been floated as off the big league roster who might be traded, who maybe you're not expecting to get a lot in the way of players back. But, you know, do you find a team that says, hey, we'll take Luis Arraez off your hands for $3 million in space and not much else? Is that a way you both get Sasaki and get the space you need to spend on the free agency side? But all of that's all hypothetical.
Interesting. Well, so definitely some appreciation in the chat, David, for explaining that for everybody. A lot of value in that for me. So thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning. And again, you can check out mattfriars.com, prospect lists, and well. Thank you, David.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, brother.
Good stuff there from David J.
Smart dude.
I do feel like, I don't feel any differently than I did before. I'm like 50-50 right now.
Yeah, of course.
Really down the middle. The fact that a couple of Dodgers prospects did sign could be an indication that they think the Dodgers are signing Sasaki, so they're jumping ship, whereas the Padres prospects, while they haven't signed with the Padres, they also haven't signed anywhere else. They're like, hey, if we just wait this out a couple of days, the Padres will lose out on Sasaki, and we can just sign. You could think that way. But then again, if the Dodgers prospects are getting better offers from another team, no reason why they shouldn't jump ship for a better offer.
Yeah.
So it could mean nothing at all at the same time.
This sucks.
Or they maybe just no one knows because Roki Sasaki hasn't made up his mind.
Yeah.
And no one really knows the answer for this. This is tough.
This is a different. This is just
excruciating.
It's a different type of excruciating, right? With a free agent that's out on the market, and you're hearing whispers he may come to your team. This is a different ball game altogether.
It's also the direct competition with the Dodgers.
Yeah, of course. And you know, again, we've made the argument a million times. I could understand why if he signs with LA, not going to be mad at him. I totally get why he would. I also understand why you would sign here as well. So, got to be, for as excruciating as it is for us, think about what AJ Preller's going through right now. Holy smokes. Just got to be a wreck.
I mean, if it doesn't happen by tomorrow. Then, you know, we're going to be out there at Fantasy Camp one way or another, probably on Tuesday, which is the 21st.
Yeah.
Either celebratory or it's going to cast a bit of a pall over the start of Fantasy Camp next week.
Yeah, very much could. It very much could. But hopefully it's all good news, man. Hopefully it's all good news.
There's also, some big news that'll be coming out that day as well on that Tuesday. And we'll get to that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
No, we just saw that. It's not about Roki, but oh my God.
It's some bad news, though. The Milwaukee Brewers just posted 2 minutes ago that we are heartbroken to announce that Brewers icon and Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Uecker passed away today at the age of 90. Oh.
I'm devastated. He's 90 years old. That's a hat tip. You know?
It is.
That's a hat. That's a tip your cap.
But, I mean, he's still working. You know, he's still calling games.
Bro, come
very,
on.
Very active, and you just feel like, oh, it's going to be around forever, right?
I know, dude. One of those guys, if you could pick somebody to be around forever, that would be him.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
That breaks my heart in two. I am so bummed.
Just stole the movie Major League.
Stole it.
Harry Doyle. Also, obviously, had a bit
one run on. Let's see. One hit.
That's all we got?
That's all we got. One damn hit.
I love him so much.
Damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I love him. Norm MacDonald has told a story about Bob Uecker. I can't repeat it. Go find it on your own. Paulie can't. You couldn't edit it enough.
No.
He's unbelievable. Oh, that breaks my heart. The kindest face that you've ever seen. Oh, I never got a chance to meet him.
Didn't travel a lot.
No, yeah. I did. I got to interview him.
You did?
I did, yes.
I didn't meet him, but I saw him one time in the press box. I was too nervous. I was way too intimidated, and he looked, from all accounts, the nicest, sweetest guy. I had less than zero interest to go introduce myself, just say hello.
Yeah, because there's also the possibility, he goes,
Bob,
hey, kid,
Yeager.
Beat it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, something just kill you.
Oh, man.
My heart is broken, dude. Oh. For a man I never knew, but I loved and love.
growing up, if you, you know, our age, watching sporting events, and in our chat, RIP Mr. Front Row, the great, was it Miller Lite commercials?
I must be in the front row.
I must be in the front row. And then he'd be sitting up in the nosebleed somewhere. The classic Rodney Dangerfield, I get no respect kind of guy. Had an acting career as well, including several seasons in the sitcom Mr. Belvedere.
Amazing.
He was the dad on the program alongside Christopher Hewitt.
Do you think he ever, in his wildest dreams, after he's a big league catcher and, you know, not a great one, but he had a long career. Do you think ever in his wildest dreams he's like, I'm going to be on a sitcom, a successful sitcom for many, many years?
But, I mean, the major league, you know, and as the story goes, you know, he improved most of that as he was going along. Just such incredible lines. I love when
I believe he's a convicted felon in the offseason.
Doesn't really say that here. Well, he should be.
He should be.
This guy threw at his kid in his father-son game.
Man, that just ruined my day, man. It ruined my day.
I know a movie I'm watching.
100%. It's so good. He's such a legend. Oh,
what do we
man.
Do?
Bolly, if you
legends,
would. Yeah.
Leave us.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
That sucks.
Yeah, I interviewed him when we did the Padres pre- and post-game show, and he visited with the Milwaukee Brewers. Very intimidating. Didn't really make me feel at ease, actually. You know, I mean, you know, he's a fairly famous guy at that point, and, you know, we're bugging him before the game. But once the microphone was on, he was gregarious and charming, as, you know, you would expect him to be.
Like, what do you mean? Like, he was kind of, did you do it in person?
You just, I guess.
Was he surly?
No, he wasn't surly, but, you know, you see a guy's on-air persona.
Yeah.
And it's always jarring to know they're also a real person.
Correct.
So when he's going and having, you know, dinner in the press box and he's just eating, he's not just throwing off
blunders
all the time. He's just going through his notes.
He's
and he goes,
eating
yeah,
his
what?
Chicken.
But, I could probably do something like, you know, 20 minutes, you know, we get together. It's like, it's just so normal sounding. And you don't ever expect Bob Uecker to be like a normal person because he's just so on every time you hear
him.
He's
a star.
And he's such a star.
90 years old. He was about to turn. He would have turned 91 in 10 days.
Oh, man.
It says here he was like still currently a broadcaster.
Yeah, he worked last year. He was in the freaking.
Was he doing like only the home like select series?
Yeah,
type
I think
thing?
he was at limit on a limited basis. Yeah, but
he was still
he did a lot of the Brewers games
he
last
year.
He was
down
though.
In the clubhouse with the celebration.
Yeah, that's
man.
Right.
Like he it. What a legend. And you know, not just a Milwaukee Brewers legend, just a baseball legend, a face of baseball.
It says here on his Wikipedia page, you know, the Ford C. Frick Award for the best baseball broadcaster or whatever. I'm like, that could easily be named the Bob Uecker Award.
No question.
Yeah,
I
and that's
that
that's how he got into the Hall of Fame. But I think his contributions go far beyond just broadcasting for the Brewers. I mean, he was an ambassador.
Yeah.
For baseball, comedic ambassador for baseball throughout his entire career. So, you know, it kind of brings me back to what I was going to talk about, which was the Hall of Fame. The announcement will be on Tuesday when we're out there next week. Who is getting in 2025?
I'm not happy with how things are going right now in the Hall of Fame tracking.
Yeah, I've seen some of the ballots and stuff.
Everyone's put Ichiro on their ballot.
Yes.
Which they should.
Yeah, there's this guy, Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah.
Guy that he puts together this like insane Google Doc, and he obviously knows he's got sources because he's getting a ton of ballots that come in. Some people, they won't send him their ballots.
Yep.
They won't go public with it because they're cowards and probably don't think Ichiro's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Which is insane.
But he does get the majority of the ballots. You can pretty much take whatever his spreadsheet says at face value. We can get into some of the numbers, but it is interesting.
Yeah, the numbers usually go down, though. The guys who don't vote for a lot of people are the ones that don't send it in.
Okay, so there's
it
a reason
usually
they don't
goes
want.
Down. So guys who are like Carlos Beltran is currently at 80, Billy Wagner at 84. That's nervous range because you need 75% to get
Billy
in.
Billy Wagner's last year.
Andrew Jones at 74. That's not trending to be enough. And Paulie, you know, one of your Mariners stars, Felix Hernandez, only 26% in his first year on the ballot.
I really don't get it. I really don't get it.
Kind of
surprising. Somebody needs to explain that one to me because I just don't understand it.
All right, we got Mike Petriello and Take on Wood, or Real or Fake action on a Throwback Thursday coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. We'll be right back with more Ben and Woods next here on 97.3 The Fan.